Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Anybody need a worksheet? Slip your hand up. If you can get a worksheet, slip your hand up. All right. Okay. Luke chapter 22. Jesus, we've been going through these passages. This passage comes up. Jesus has been arrested in the garden. His closest friends have deserted him. John and Peter have been kind of following behind. John was able to get into the area of the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off, and we talked about that. And Peter's been confronted three times by those who recognize him as being associated with Jesus. And Peter has denied such association in spite of his bold statements of loyalty to Jesus. Finally, the eyes of Jesus meet the eyes of Peter. We talked about that in last week. As the last words of denial leave his lips, Peter sobs violently, as the word says. Jesus is then blindfolded. He's mocked and he's struck. And then they demand Jesus to reveal who was the perpetrator of the assault against him. It was a long night for Jesus. Which brings us to the passage we have in chapter 22, verse number 66, if you will, toward the end of the chapter. Again, we're covering those passages that were not in the other Gospels. Luke chapter 22, verse number 66. It says, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and of the chief priests and scribes came together and led him, Jesus, into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, you say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the king. Now notice they're complaining about a totally different thing to Pilate as what they were complaining about the high priest's office. And there's two totally different things here. Verse 3. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning with Galilee, to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. The same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, he said to them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. And I will therefore chastise him, meaning to scourge him, and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him, I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And look at these last two verses. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. That's really the statement that we're coming to, that Luke brings out. He delivered Jesus to their will. Let's pray, and let's see what we can do here tonight. The will of the people. The will of the people. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the truths. And again, Lord, we thank you again for the mirror that is, that we can see ourselves. And Lord, help us not to look in there and walk away being a forgetful hearer, but doer of your word. So, Lord, I pray that you bless our time. We ask for your Holy Spirit. We're kind of in a hurry here, but Lord, I don't want to rush over anything. So, Lord, I ask for your Spirit to give us what we need. To put in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Though the Lord is sovereign, and he could demand whatever he wanted, the Lord, in his sovereignty, allows man to exercise his own free will. Jesus could have stopped this process at any time. In Matthew 26, 53, you know the story, when he was being arrested and Peter sliced off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. He says, thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father and he shall presently, I mean immediately, give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? He says, it's not my will. It's not what I like, but it is God's will. There are times when the Lord allows us to exercise our free wills in relation to him. It is in those times that we discover who we really are and what is really in our hearts. Sometimes when our wills are allowed to express themselves freely, we see that we want what we want, and we will do just about anything to get what we want. It's amazing sometimes how far we can stoop to get what we want. Let me give you number one. When our wills are leading the way, our will, you have a will. That means, in fact, who you are is your mind, your will, your mind, your emotions. So it's who we are, our thinking, our will, who we are, our emotions. That's who we are. We happen to be in this body, but that's the person. That's your soul. And when our wills, our personal wills are leading the way, here it is, truth becomes what we make it. It's amazing how truth will become what we make it. Now, it doesn't really become what we make it, but we think that's what truth is. We make truth what we think it should be. All of a sudden, to us, truth is what we've been convincing ourselves is true. I've known people who will tell the same falsehood to people over and over and over again until they believe it themselves. It's amazing how we can kind of rationalize and reason and kind of twist things around till we have convinced ourselves of a truth that's really not a truth. Letter A, we like to accept our own truth. We like to say, well, this is what's true. And, you know, most people would say, well, I don't really ever do that. So, you know what? There's a lot of little places where we do that. Little relationships between family members and all kinds of things. It's amazing how quick we can just kind of twist the truth. And I said this the other day. You realize God knows how much we've twisted it? I mean, for some people, the truth is almost like a candy cane. You know what I mean? And you say, well, no one's going to know. But God knows. Yeah, but he'll forgive me. Yeah, he will, but he also then knows your character. See, we don't realize that our sin is what separates us from God. And do we really want anything at all between us and God? We wonder why the sun just doesn't. There's an old song in our hymn book. Let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove. Then embrace me again. Let the sun shine again in my heart. Sometimes listen, we walk around in a cloud. We walk around, it seems dark. And really the biggest problem is because we have been building little bricks between us and the Lord until the sun just doesn't seem like it shines on us like it used to. And you know, you like to just say, well, let's just knock down that, you know what, but a brick wall, you kind of have to take, a lot of times you got to take it down brick by brick by brick by brick by brick. And that's really, you know, you need to confess our sins. Keep a short account with the Lord. We tend to make our truth and what we want to be, we accept what we have called truth. Letter B. It's amazing how we can reject the truth no matter the evidence. We can reject the truth no matter the evidence. Let's go back to the passage. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? In other words, the Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. That's the Greek word for Messiah. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're supposed to be coming? Tell us. And he said to them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. What he's saying is, your will is in gear right now, and you have already decided not to believe the truth. You know what? We're kind of like that. I used to teach school, and every once in a while, I have a kid who's just going to give a hard time, and their parents come in, and they already decided their kid was innocent. We already decided what truth is before we ever get there. And when our will, our flesh, you know, we've got the flesh and we've got the spirit, and they're contrary one to another. And when our will is in gear, most times we've already decided not to believe the truth if the truth it says something that I don't want to hear. He says, if I asked you if I was the Messiah, I tell you, you wouldn't believe. So if I told you the truth, you're not going to believe it because you've already decided it's not the truth. Then he says, if I ask you if I was the Messiah, well, who do you think I am? He says, you wouldn't answer me. Nor would you let me go. Look at what it says. It says, if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. What's he saying? You don't want to hear it from me, and you're not going to say it yourself. You're not going to admit it, but this is the fact is, one of these days, they're going to be sitting on the right hand of the Father, just so you know. He told them, you don't want to believe it, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. So he says, you know who I am. That's not the point. He says, you are determined to get rid of me, and the truth only gets in your way. Boy, I tell you what, has that ever happened? You got something, you got an agenda, and the truth, listen, don't confuse me with the facts. I've got something I want to get done. You know, sometimes some folks don't get much out of their Bible reading. You know why? Because they don't want to hear what it has to say a lot of the time. If you go to the Bible and say, Lord, you reveal it to me and I will do it. Now, don't lie to them. But if you really mean that, you'll be surprised when the Lord starts to open up out of the Word of God. But he also knows when you're going to the Word of God, well, let's see if I like this part. I never liked this. I remember years ago, I was part of a kind of a little dead church, and there was one gal who said, Paul the Apostle was a woman hater. So she basically discounted everything Paul the Apostle wrote. Well, you do that, you're throwing out half the New Testament. But she discounted everything Paul has said because he hates women. He didn't hate women. But you know why she said that? Because there's some things that it says in the writings of Paul that she doesn't like. And so let's just throw the whole works out. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth, but you're not going to listen. If I asked you with the truth, you wouldn't tell me because you wouldn't say anything because you don't want to say it. Kind of like Fonzie. We couldn't admit we was wrong. You remember the old TV show? I mean, he just can't do it. And so he says, your will has already made up its mind. We can reject truth no matter the evidence. I mean, Jesus, all that Jesus has done, remember, the people were saying, well, how can he not be from God? Look what he's done. And yet after 3.5 years, and they know, listen, they've been watching him for 3.5 years. They've seen what he's going to do, and yet he's saying, well, am I the Messiah? I'm not going to say the Messiah. They don't want to because he's not the truth they want to know. It's amazing how we can do that. Letter C. We believe what we want to believe. We believe what we want to believe. You know, it's not, people say, well, the Bible's so hard to believe, a lot of crazy things, you know. You got Jonah and the whale, and you got the parting of the Red Sea, and you've got Gideon winning, you know, over thousands and thousands with 300, and you've got all these things, you know, and the water turned to blood, and you got a thing. But, you know, that's just so hard to understand. In fact, tell you the truth, I think we all just oozed up out of the mud. But that's not hard to believe, right? We've got a lot of rain. We got a lot of mud. But I don't see anybody popping up here. And I haven't been growing people in my backyard. I got a lot of standing water, a few skeeters maybe. You say, well, many, many years and years, I understand, but life comes from life. In the beginning, God. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. We want to believe what we want to believe. Look at verse 70. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Basically he's saying, you said it. And they said, well, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. No, he said, you said it. There you go. There it is. See? He admitted it. Okay, so if you're not the Messiah, do you think you're the Son of God? They're saying. Well, I am as you have accused me to be, so will you let me go now that I've confessed to you that I am the Son of God? You're going to let me go now? You say what I am. In either way, I'm condemned. If I say I'm not the Son of God, you will accuse me of changing my story and thus lie, and I will be condemned. If I say I'm the Son of God, you will accuse me of heresy, and I will be condemned. They've already made their decision. Now, I hope that as Christians, we don't come to God's word like that anymore. Now, maybe we did before we were saved. But I'll tell you, there's some folks you talk to, that's the way that is. You know, they've already decided, says, how many people have repented? Well, it's full of contradictions and problems and inaccuracies. And why? Where'd you hear that? Well, show me one. And 99% of them can't show you anything that's considered, they have no place to go because they don't even know the book well enough. Well, professor, no more than God says so. And by the way, those little contradictions and so forth, those are usually the biggest diamond jewels that when you find out, it's amazing the way things God puts these things all together. And, you know, they'll even do things like, where's Sean? Sean's usually here. How does Sean spell his name? S-H-A-W-N, right? Okay. We had somebody else's name was Sean, is S-E-A-N. You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, the fact is, do you realize that the English language was not standardized in its spelling until around Noah Webster's time? That's George Washington's time, the 1700s. In fact, there's some letters written by George Washington, President of the United States, where he spelled the word several times in the same letter a little bit differently because they spelled it the way it sounded to him. Well, the fact is, just because there's some people say, "Well, this guy was Jehoahaz. This guy was just Joaz." Yeah, that's the same guy. Oh no! He's got an extra H in his word. You know his name. I know. But when they wrote the book, that's the way they did. So they put it over in there. There's a lot of those kind of things. We Janet and I had this. There was one guy who was a king in Israel, and there was another king in Judah at the same time, about the same number, the same name. You know, it's like George II and George III and King George. Well, he was of Scotland. This one over here in London, and you got all this. You know, so that's the same thing. We get ourselves all upset because they don't know the Bible, so they just decided already to throw the whole thing out. Don't let anybody steal your word of God from you. Don't let them steal it. Let me give you number two. when our wills are leading the way, the truth, in quote, we base our decisions on can change. When the wills are leading the way, the truth, quote unquote, that we base our decisions on can change. By the way, truth doesn't change. But the fact is, that's not really what they're talking about here. They're just kind of changing their story. Look at Luke 23. You got it right there. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him. Now, what was their problem with him just a few minutes ago? Well, he calls himself the Messiah, the King of the Jews. That's their problem. But that's not going to mean a doggone thing to Pilate. And so they're trying to, they decide they're going to get rid of this guy. So now they're going to try to trump up a charge for him that Pilate's going to care about. So what do they say? They accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute or taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." So what do? He won't pay his taxes. He's telling everybody not to pay their taxes. And he never did he? They came to him and said, "Well, should we pay tribute to Caesar?" And he says, "Well, show me the coin." And he says, "Whose image is on the coin?" He says, "Well, Caesar's." "Well, then render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, render unto God that which is God's." When it came time for him to pay his taxes, they said, "Lord, we got to pay our taxes. What are we going to pay it with?" He sent Peter out to go fishing. If he catches a fish inside a fish's mouth, it's a coin to pay the taxes. He paid his taxes. These people had already made a decision. All of a sudden, now we change the story. We trump up our own facts. Now, I hate to say it. I know a lot of husbands and wives who are in the middle of their fight kind of come up with new facts. I've heard some in my office over the years. Get caught in something and you know it wasn't right, and all of a sudden we changed the story. We started talking about what they're doing, and we changed the facts. We talk about something that, well, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about this. That's when our will is leading things. The charges changed for them in the public arena. Their religious charges would mean nothing to Pilate, so the charges are changed in order to make this a civil case. And actually, they were looking, by the way, it says here, he makes himself out to be a king. Now think about this. What were the Jews looking for? A king. They just didn't want him. The fact is, if this was a Messiah that was going to come in there and take over Rome, they wouldn't have been taking him to Pilate. They've been protecting him, setting up the army to knock the Caesar off his throne. And right now they're saying, "Well, he's trying to overthrow your government." Some are you. A bunch of hypocrites. They would love to see that happen. That's what they were trying to do. But they're schmoozing. When our will is in charge, it's amazing what we will do. So they're playing up to the Roman governor as if they're on his side. Now, I know these are non-Christians doing that, but I tell you what, we've got to be careful as Christians that we don't think about the end justifying the means. I'll tell you what, I hate to say it, I've seen Christians who will, they say, "Well, this is what we ought to do for the Lord," and somehow they kind of connive and scheme and kind of go against truth and, you know, maybe just what they call little white lies and all this stuff, trying to do it for the Lord. God says, "I don't need your doings. I can take care of myself. You do right and I'll use you." Number three, when our wills are leading the way, we try to sidestep or circumvent and avoid truth. When our wills are leading the way, we try to avoid truth. Look at verse 3. And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou saidest it." You said it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Now, Pilate is not the king of the Jews. Herod is. Okay? Jesus looks like a whole lot less threat to him than Herod. See, Herod and Pilate didn't like each other. In fact, there was always a little bit of conflict between Herod, who's technically king of the Jews, but under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And so there's kind of a tug of war going on. Herod said, you know, basically said, I'm the king of the Jews, but we've got Rome over there, and Rome said, yeah, you're the king of the Jews. Okay, just sit down and be quiet. Yeah, you are. And so there's this little conflict going on. But Jesus, you know, he didn't look anywhere near. So fact is, you know what, if they made him the king, he'd probably be a whole lot less problem for him. And let him be king. He wants to be king, let him be king. Sounds good to me. So he says, you know what, I'll tell you what, I don't need this on my hands. Send Jesus to Herod and let him fight it out. Maybe they'll knock each other out and won't have either one of them. I don't know. So he says, send him to look at verse 5. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning with Galilee, to this place. And he's, oh, Galilee. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. Well, I don't want to deal with that. Pilate, he saw truth. He said, you know what, I don't want to deal with this. Let me just avoid it and pass the buck. You know, again, sometimes we need to at least stand. We don't need to attack. We need to at least stand. But we just kind of let it go and let somebody else fight that fight. You got to stand for truth. Number 4, when our will is leading the way, we should not expect the Lord to reveal truth to us. When our will is leading the way, we should not expect the Lord to reveal truth. So we've talked about the leaders in the Jewish people. We've talked about Pilate. Let's talk about Herod. It's amazing. The whole thing is a farce. Verse 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Now, just a reminder. Do you remember how the Pharisees lied when they wanted to get Jesus out of town? And they said, you know what? Herod wants to kill you. You remember that? I don't know if you remember that, but Herod wants to kill you. Actually, Herod wants to meet him. I don't know if you remember that way back, but there I gave it to you there, Luke 13. The same day there came certain Pharisees saying to him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day, I shall be perfected. So basically, so that's just another lie that was way back in the, that was back there a little further, a few chapters. You know, Herod was looking to see this guy, and the Pharisees were trying to chase him out of town. You didn't get out of here. Herod's after you. Bunch of liars. Verse 9, back to our passage. Then he questioned with him, Herod, questioned with Jesus in many words, but he answered him nothing. Why? Herod had been given truth by John the Baptist, but he refused it. And it was all said and done, he was actually willing to have his head for it. We must walk in the light that we have been given if we want God to shed more light for us. Again, you say, well, sometimes sin blocks us and we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes God has put a light on something that we need to deal with. And we need to be honest with ourselves. But if we're not honest with ourselves, we've changed truth and we've reasoned this and rationalized that and so forth. You can do all you want, but it hasn't changed God's mind on the issue. And if God says, this is the next step for you, you need to tend to this. You say, well, okay, I understand that, but I've got some other things I want to do first. If God says this is where you're going to tend to first, then that's what he's going to tend to.
You can walk everywhere you want, but every place you walk is going to get shadier. It's going to get darker. He's shining a light on something you need to tend to right now. You might as well give in and do it. Because if you don't, you're not going to make any headway. In fact, every place you go, you're just going to feel like you're getting further and further in the mess. Further and further in the dark. And so when people say, I don't want to do that right now. Well, fine. Herod said, I don't want to hear what you have to say, Jesus. He said, fine. So when he asked a bunch of questions, I want to hear now. Mm-mm. I'll tell you what needed to be done, and you didn't want to hear it. You're on your own. Now, God's not being snitty about it. He's not snippy. If you're not going to talk to me, I'm not going to talk to you. No. This is the next step. And we need to, listen, he resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And when our will's in charge, our pride is there. God is going to resist it. Everything we do, if it's not what he's asking us to do, we're going to feel like we're walking into a headwind. He's fighting against you. Look at verse 10. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught. That means to set Jesus on display to show him as nothing. And he mocked him and arrayed him a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Well, that's going to get a lot out of God. Make fun of him. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for behold, before they were enmity between themselves. I think Jesus was a mutual problem for both of them. I don't know what else they got. Have you ever noticed that? Some people become friends, and it's all over who they're against. You ever seen that? All of a sudden, they're big buddies. They used to be enemies. Now they're big buddies because they have a common enemy. Common enemy. Number 5. When our will is leading the way, we are willing to go along with untruth if it appears that it will make our life easier. We're willing to go along with untruth if it appears that it will make our life easier. Verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that preferreth the people. Behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, nothing worthy of death is done to him. In other words, there is no evidence of any wrongdoing. I will therefore chastise him and release him. There's nothing wrong with this man, so we'll have him scourged. What's he saying? I'm trying to appease you. I'll go along with the untruth to make life easier for me. Hello? Does someone ring your bell? Sometimes he's knocking. He's telling us some things here. I'm just kind of going through some things. We say, well, I can't be me. Well, maybe we just need to examine. Letter B. So Pilate decided to scourge an innocent man. Pilate decided to scourge an innocent man. Verse 17. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore watched, willing to release Jesus. That's what he wanted to do. He was willing to release Jesus. He spake to them and said, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. And yet, look at the next statement. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Pilate knew the truth, but was willing to go along with an untruth to make life easier. Well, I tell you what, that's probably one that gets most of us. Now, you don't have to be mean and offensive or defensive or, you know, but sometimes you just need to stand for truth. Letter C. Pilate was willing to release Jesus, but not as willing as he was willing to please the people. He was willing to release Jesus, but not as willing as he was willing to please the people. About a year ago, I did a message, and I called it "Willing is Not Enough." Out of this passage, willing is not enough. Pilate was willing to do right. The fact is, Pilate was willing to do wrong. We know that because he did. Pilate was willing to give away his right to his own will. He said, it was his will, said, "I'm not going to do this," but he gave it away to the crowd. Giving into the will of the people is not necessarily the Christian thing to do. Now, I know we're supposed to try to do all we can to live peaceably with all men. Sure we are. But not in compromise of truth. Stand kindly, if you know. Stand as Christ would stand. What did Jesus say? "So are you the Son of God?" Well, the fact is, I'm going to be sitting on the throne beside of him real soon here. Now, you know, if I told you, you won't believe me. If I ask you, you're not going to give me the answer that you know is right. But the fact is, I'm going to be sitting right beside the Lord there, right beside God the Father. And, let's see here. It's going to be up for about 40 days here. I'm going to be up there. Yep. It's the truth. You don't have to be cantankerous, but you do need to stand for the truth. The problem is, you say, "Well, I'm willing to do the truth." That's good, but that's not enough. We need to be unwilling to not do the truth. He was willing to release. We're willing to do the will of God, but sometimes we're willing to do wrong. And we sit there and think, "Okay, now which one's going to handle me the best? I'm willing to go along with truth if it turns out good, but the fact is, if it's not going to turn out so good, maybe I should go along the other side here." Get a backbone. What it is means is faith in what God's going to do. Be honest with you, you don't need your own fleshly backbone. You need to just stand in faith. Number six, when our will is leading the way, we are willing to support untruth if it will release us from the confrontation we are having with the truth. When our will is leading the way, we are willing to support untruth if it will release us from the confrontation we're having with truth. Do you realize that there have been several studies? My son could come up with a quote. I just happened to think about it. There have been some atheists and some evolutionists that said evolution must be true, because if it's not true, the only alternative is that there's a creator. And we can't have that. Now, I'll get Sterling to give me the quote, but there are several folks who are like that, who have said that. It has to be evolution, because otherwise the only other explanation is that there's a creator of some kind. And we can't have that. See, if there's a creator, then there's probably somebody we're answerable to. And I know me, I'm not a perfect guy, so I'm probably going to get myself in trouble. I don't want to have to answer to him. I mean, the fact is, if he knows everything I've done, you know what we tell the kids? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, that's why, because we want the kids to fear something. But we're adults. We'll throw that out with the rest of the fairy tale. You know, tell me God knows when I'm being bad or good. So we are willing to support an untruth if that makes me feel better about the confrontation with truth. Look at verse 23. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He was willing to support an untruth if it released him from the confrontation with truth. Number one underneath that. When our own will is leading the way, we are willing to go along with whatever voices are the loudest. Well, I just don't like confrontation. I don't like confrontation either. What does that have to do with standing up for truth? But I don't like confrontation. Well, do you stand for truth? Oh, yeah, but I don't like confrontation. Now, we don't need to go out making trouble. But stand for truth. Verse 25. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. So he went along. He supported the release of a murderer. Watch. But he delivered Jesus to their will. The will of the people. He delivered. Here's your word. Surrendered. Yielded to. He surrendered his will to their will. That word will there means choice, volition, determination, purpose. He surrendered his choice, his purpose. Now, folks, there's an awful lot of folks who are Christian, in the name of being nice, have surrendered their will. They've surrendered truth. Willing to support an untruth. To try to keep the confrontation down. Here's the issue. Satan's going to keep fighting us. And he's kind of like the proverbial camel with his nose in the door of the tent. If you let the camel, you ever see those things on videos when the camel, they go to go to these places and the animal gets their head in the sunroof or in the side window and they're feeding them and isn't that cute? He keeps coming in further and further and further and the slobber's coming down out of there. Before long, the whole inside of the car is just a mess. That's what he used to say about the camel. He gets his nose in the tent and he's looking around. Before long, he's got his whole self in there and he's beating up the tent and it's pulled out. The stakes are gone because somebody didn't close the tent door. And that's what we need to do. There's times we've got to say no to untruth. Let me finish this up. Pilate surrendered his will to the purpose of the people. You don't have any. This is summary here. The will of the people is not necessarily the will of God. You know what? That's why we don't have a normal, what we call, discussion class. I'm not saying you can't ask questions and make comments in your Sunday school class, but that's why we don't have a discussion Sunday school class. Somebody has taken the Bible and learned what that Bible has to say and is going to teach us. Problem is, when you get down, you have a discussion class, well, your word is as good as his word. Before long, you got people in that class who has no idea what truth is because that guy made a pretty good statement. Well, that guy had a pretty good defense. Well, that's there. Well, you know what? Maybe we ought to just, and all we have is, all we've done is pulled together fool's knowledge. You got to be careful. You got to make sure we got somebody who can go to the Word of God and say, this is thus saith the Lord. The will of the people is not necessary. Just because everybody voted on doesn't make it right. Most likely, the will of the people is decided by their sinful nature. Listen, just a few hours before Jesus had prayed and he surrendered his will to the will of the Father. When he was in the garden, he came out and he went and he said, as he went to the Mount of Olives, the disciples also followed him. This is Luke 22, 39. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down, and he prayed, saying, Jesus, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was struggling with the exact same thing we struggle with. All points tempted such as we, yet without sin.
When we surrender our will to the will of the Father will help us through. You know, in Luke there 22, he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove his cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Next verse says this, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He said, well, I don't know if I can do that. You do it. Take the step. God will turn on the light of the next step. When we demand our own will to be done, we will do so all on our own. Let me ask you, who or what determines your will? Do you determine your will by the consensus of the crowd or by the truth of the Word of God? Another question. Do you surrender your faith to the will of the world? Do you give it up? I know what truth is, I don't want to deal with a confrontation. I don't want to have this conversation. And you know what basically we're saying? You say, what? I'm trying to do so to keep peace. You know what you just did? You just told that person that the things of God are optional. Don't need to be a priority. But I was being nice. I know, but the fact is, again, don't be mean. We feel attacked, and all of a sudden we start to attack back. We don't have to attack back. We got God on our side. Just so you know, I'm sitting in the right hand of the Father. This is what it says. That's where I got to stand. Just do it. Stand. The will of people. Let's, Father. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Bless our time. Help us to stand for truth. May we not be yielding to the will of people, but the will of our Father. Heads are bowed and our eyes.